I would like to continue this brief series of studies on discipleship and trust that you will go right along with me in the study of this great subject of who and what is a real disciple of Jesus Christ. What the world is looking for are real disciples of Christ, those in whose hearts the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent, where he is the object of your love and devotion, and where we are obedient to his word. And I give you a definition. I've been repeating it, and I don't mind repeating it. Some of you haven't been listening in, but I want to say to you that a real disciple of Jesus Christ is one who has affection, real devotion for the Savior, and is obedient to his word. And again, lest I be misunderstood, let me make it very clear that a person can really be a Christian, loving the Savior in the sense they put their trust in the Lord, and yet not be a real disciple of the Savior. Now, someone is going to say, well, Mr. Mitchell, this could be a question of growth. Well, now, there's no question there's a possibility that there is growth involved in this. And yet, one can really be in love with the Savior and be obedient as far as they know, and be a real disciple of the Savior. The question of knowledge is another thing. But you remember, as we have followed through the evidences of one who was a real disciple, his obedience to his word, and the second thing was abiding in the word in John 8, 31 and 32, and then to bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples in John 15, 8. And fruit bearing can only come as a person stays in the Word of God and abiding in him. And then we found in Luke chapter 14, in our last lesson, we find that Christ must come before others, he must come before self, and he must come before things. In other words, Christ must be the center of your affection. Jesus Christ will not be satisfied to play second fiddle to anybody, to either freshly relations or other Christians, or even yourself. A disciple is one who is sold out to the Savior. You remember, the Lord gave everything up for us in order to redeem us, to save us, to bring us into right relationship with himself. Now it's going to cost us everything to be a real disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many who say that they are real disciples, but I want to see some of the evidence of it. And I repeat again, the evidence is obedience to his word, abiding in the word, bearing much fruit, and Christ must come first. Now let me talk about the badge of discipleship, and here I turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and I'm reading verses 34 and 35. You remember, our Lord has just been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and he went out. Then our Lord spoke of the fact that now was his hour come to be glorified. And then he adds this statement, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And the badge of discipleship is love. It's not doctrine. It is not orthodoxy, it's not the gifts of the Spirit, but love. The badge, for example, of the Pharisees was their phylacteries, which they wore on their forehead or upon their wrists. You take today, a man has a little picture, a little button on his lapel, and I see it, and I say, oh, he's a Gideon. Another one, I say, oh, he belongs to the shrine. He's a fellow with three legs, he belongs to the Oddfellows. In other words, what's the badge of a Christian? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, may I again remind you, it's not doctrine. It's not orthodoxy. It's not even the gift of the Spirit. That is the evidence of a disciple. But the badge of a disciple is love for each other. And he's talking here about the household of faith. If we love Christ, we will love his people. Remember that. If we love Christ, we will love his people. And may I say that it is this want of love must needs be full proof that one is not a disciple of Christ. A while ago I was discussing this question about in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Then I went over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, manifested in joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control. Allow me to read a passage. You know, we talk about love so much, and it's become a... It's not the love of the Scripture. I mean, it's not what the Scriptures mean by love. We have a lot of mamby-pamby stuff today. That is not love. I even hear Christians say, well, I love him, but I don't like him. Well, my friend, you're just playing with words. I may not like what somebody's doing, that's true. But a genuine love will not sit in judgment on another brother. A genuine love will seek to help the other man, the other person. May I quote again from Corinthians chapter 13, that great passage on love. I'll not give you the whole chapter, but we talk about being Christians, manifesting love, being disciples. The badge of discipleship is love, that genuine divine love manifested in us. Do you remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, I read, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Let me remind you that every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit of God, and we not only have an imparted life when we accepted the Savior, but an imparted love. Do you remember in 1 John chapter 3, the first verse, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are, and so on. What I'm trying to get into your heart and mind is this. Let me get away from this shallow idea of love. I know today in our society is a lot about love, 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 love. And it's not the love of the Bible, I'll tell you. It's not what the Bible talks about love. It is not this shallow, empty, physical, sexual thing that men call love. I'm not talking about that. Jesus said in chapter 13 of John that you love one another even as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. What love? The same kind of a love that Jesus Christ has for you and for me. And how did he manifest that love? By sacrifice. And if I claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be manifested by obedience to his word and sacrifice for my brethren. I'm getting right down to basic things. Sometimes I get tired of the emptiness and the shallowness of the way we throw words around these days. The same divine love that Jesus Christ had for you, my friend, if you're a Christian, if you've really taken Christ as your Savior, you have imparted to you divine love. I can revel in the life Christ has given to me. I'm a new man in Christ. You say, all right, but you've also got an imparted love. It's divine love. Remember, the Christian life is a supernatural life. He wants me to love people, even the unlovely. This is divine love. Take Romans 5, 8, for example. Same passage I was quoting a while ago from Romans 5, 5. Here's 5, 8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet active, rebellious in our sins, he died for us. When did God start to love you? When you were a sinner, yes. When you were helpless, yes. When you were active in your rebellion against God, he still loved you. And he manifested by dying for you. Now in verse 5 says that same love has been shed abroad in your heart and my heart. Now let me read. I'm reading from Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and as a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now remember where this chapter is. I'm reading from the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12 is the bestowal of gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. In chapter 14 is the exercise of the gifts. In chapter 13, in between, is the governing of the gifts. By what? By love. Oh, I want to see that today. I've seen people who claim to have certain gifts of the Spirit. Well and good. What I want to see is not the exercise of that gift. I want to see love, which governs the gift. Which governs the gift. And though I speak with the tongues of angels, the tongues of men, I haven't any love. I'm nothing else but a tin can, beating on a tin can. Though I have the gift of prophecy, can preach like a whirlwind, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can even remove mountains, I haven't love. I am nothing. Though I give all my goods away to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It's empty, empty. I'm talking about the revelation of divine love, my friend, in you and me. I'm talking about a supernatural thing. It's not something you can work up. It's not something that's a fruit of sympathy. I'm talking about a divine love. And when God wanted to demonstrate his love for you and for me, do you know what he did? He gave heaven's best. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send Gabriel the archangel or Michael the archangel. He didn't send Gabriel his messenger. He didn't send some great principality or power. No, sir. No, sir. He sent his only begotten Son to come into this world to be a sacrifice for you and for me. And these days, people have been remembering the coming of the Savior as a baby in Bethlehem. Would to God we'd think more, too. Not only of that, but of the fact of his love. Why did he come? Why did he come in the first place? Just because he loved you. Just because he loved me, he wanted to deliver us from the bondage and penalty of sin. He came to deliver us from the powers of hell. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. And that same love which sacrificed all heaven to redeem you and me, save you and me, that same love is in your heart. When I say, when you say, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then love will be evident, divine love. Now let me go on in that chapter. Let me read these next two or three verses, will you? Love suffereth long and is still kind. Love suffereth long and is still kind. Oh, brother, oh, brother. Do you know how we read that? If we go according to our experience, yours and mine. Love suffers long and then blows up. No, no, no. Divine love doesn't do that. Human love does, but not divine love. Love suffers long and is still kind. Love envieth not. Doesn't envy your neighbor or anybody else. Love vaunteth not itself, is never stuck up, puffed up. Love never behaves itself unseemly. Love never seeks her own. Love is never easily provoked, doesn't get stirred up. Love thinketh no evil of your neighbor, of your brother, of your family. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love doesn't run to the telephone to spread some rumor or some gossip about somebody. Love never rejoices in iniquity, but always rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Could I do this? Could I do this? Let me change it. Instead of putting the word love there, I'm going to put the word, the name of our Savior. And notice how it fits. Jesus suffered long and was still kind. Jesus never envied anybody. Jesus never puffed himself up. Jesus never said or did anything that was unseemly. Jesus never sought his own. He was never easily provoked. He never thought any evil. Jesus never rejoiced in iniquity. He always rejoiced in the truth. Jesus bore all things. He believed all things. He hoped all things. He endured all things. Jesus never failed. We sing it sometimes, Jesus never fails. That's true. But friend, I'm a disciple. Are you? You're a disciple. So the very same thing, if I claim to be a disciple, the very same things that were manifest and evident in our Lord's life should be in your life and my life. And I'm not talking about miracles. I'm not talking about some supernatural thing. I'm not talking about some ecstatic thing or some superlative thing. I'm talking about divine love evident in and through our lives. You see, people are always looking for the spectacular. Even in spiritual things, in so-called religious things, we love the spectacular. We love to have our emotions stirred up and the spectacular evident. That's not the thing. If I'm a real disciple, the important thing will be Jesus Christ and his love for men and women poured out in a life of union with the believer. Friend, I'm talking about something that's not shallow. I'm talking about things that glorify the Savior. You see, again, this question of the badge of discipleship. He goes on to say in the chapter, if there be prophecies, they shall fail. If there be tongues, they shall cease. If there be knowledge, it will pass away. We only know in part. We only prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Now I become a man. Mature in spiritual things, says Paul. I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I only know in part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Why? Because love is eternal. Faith is not eternal. Now I'm living by faith. What do you mean by that? Well, living by faith, my friend, means to walk in fellowship with Christ under any circumstance. Living the life of faith doesn't mean getting things from God so much. It's a tragedy that we take a statement and say, well, she's living by faith, he's living by faith, those missionaries live by faith. Now, that's true, but please don't put it on the field of a materialistic thing. A life of faith is a life lived in fellowship with God. In fact, I would like to make the statement, my friend, which I've made so often, God did not give you faith to transform the world or to perform some supernatural thing. God give you faith to walk with him in any age, under any circumstance. This is the life of faith. But when I see him, I'll no longer be walking by faith, but by sight. So faith is a passing thing. Well, what about hope? Well, a hope that is realized, there's no longer need of a hope when that hope is realized. You have that in Romans chapter 8. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. But a hope that is seen is no longer hope. When I see him, he's my hope. And when I see him, that's the end of hope, because the hope will be realized. But love, that goes on through eternity. In fact, I want to say, my friend, we will never experience the wonder of his love except in eternity. We just get snatches of it down here. And when we get a snatch of his love gripping our hearts, we go into ecstasy. But remember, it's not the ecstasy that's the important thing. It's his love overwhelming us to be occupied with the Savior. So I again say, the manifestation or the evidence, the badge of discipleship is love. Remember that. The badge of discipleship is love. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And fruit is the fruitage of that love. The Spirit of God, the life of God living in and through his people. And the evidence of it will be love manifested in joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Now may the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.